Well, today I want to bring you something from my heart of what the Lord has been speaking over this last few weeks to me about. And it's connected to cost, it's connected to our time, it's connected to change. And almost at the heart of it, it's about what's our flexibility like? What's our room like for God to do new things in our space and through our lives? But before we get in there, I want us to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us. And we ask you today that you would encourage and bless every heart in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Guys, there's something today about cost, isn't there? It feels like prices are rising. No matter what way you look, savings are going up, inflation's going up, wages are staying the same, you wish they were going up. It feels like everything's just getting tighter and harder and more expensive and more difficult and more challenging. And yet the Lord, we know He's for us, and He says to be of good cheer because He's already overcome the world. We live in a world that's constantly full of change, and sometimes it's easier and sometimes it's harder, and sometimes we're certain of success and sometimes it looks like we're doomed to failure. But I want to encourage you today that God's always doing a new thing. And I believe today God wants to speak directly into our hearts for something that's just happening really uniquely in this season with us as a body of believers. He's bringing rapid change. He's bringing rapid growth. And I feel like God's saying today, I need you to get prepared. I need you to get ready. And part of that is counting the cost. You know, there's times where you're looking forward to holidays and then you say to yourself, we're either going to save or we're going to start counting what we've got. And let's see where we can get to. It feels like a season like that. We're counting our blessings with expectation. We're counting our finance with excitement. We want to see how far is it going to go. We're counting our time with excitement. We want to see how far is it going to go, because we recognize there's some costly endeavors ahead. But the purpose and the goal, which God wants to put in all of our hearts, is remember this: we are going after the lost. Everything we do, it's like, how can we reach? How can we encourage that person to Jesus? How can we see that person come back? How can we see lost souls come alive in Jesus' name? And so to do that, we've got to count the cost. Here's what I've noticed. Every day we are spending. We are spending so much every day. We're spending our time. We're spending our energy. We're spending our resources. We're spending our abilities and talents and skills. We're buying things. We've got bills that want to take our money. We've got relationships. We've got money itself. We've got work. It seems to be never ending. It seems to be the moment you've got some spare, it's required. It seems to be the moment you got some slack, it will be needed. And I feel like the Lord just saying, what if we started to go on the offensive instead of living on the defensive? Instead of living on the back foot, we're living on the front foot. And we're spending all we can before it's taken from us later. I feel like there's a season like that's what we're in. It's like if you try to hold on to what you've got, you're going to lose it. But if you would be prepared to spend it on the kingdom, you would find it would all work out in the end. And I think you find that when it comes to finance. I think you find that when it comes to time and what you do with your time and your skills and your abilities. You can either hoard them and hold on to them and keep them safe, but it almost feels like you lose them or they get taken from you in a different way. But when we come to spend it on Him, when we come to pour it out on Him, I tell you what, I don't think we lose. I think we gain. And somehow it all seems to work out. And I believe today God's calling us to be good stewards like never before. Because to be a good steward doesn't mean to be a good saver necessarily, but to be a good steward knows when to save and knows when to spend. To be a good steward, you know when the time is right to expand. You know when the time is right to hold your ground. And I feel we're in this season of we're ready to go, but then we hold. We're ready to go, and then we hold. But it's all connected to the kingdom. And if we don't engage with the kingdom of God, we could find ourselves holding and losing. We could find ourselves spending and wasting. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, and we know what He's saying, then we're going to spend and reap. We're going to spend and get reward. We're going to invest and we're going to see high return when it comes to the things of God. And so I want to see people that be good stewards. I want to challenge us with a few things today before we read some verses together. I want to challenge and say, use what you have, number one. Amen? Use what you have. Don't keep waiting for a day to have more. Use what you have. This is such an important principle from the Word of God. Use what you have with no fear of running out, because you know He'll supply even more. So use what you have. Give what you have. Give away what you have, because again, we're not worried about where we'll get it from, because where did we get it in the first place? We got it from Him. Amen? So we know our Heavenly Father will supply all of our needs. So use all you have, give all you have. Do it. Trust God. Don't worry. Don't get too comfortable. We continue to say this over and over and over again, because we like to be comfortable, but sometimes it can go too far and it can rob us from what God wants to do next. And can I say this? We are designed to need God. Wow. Come on. I want you to get this in your heart. You are designed to need God. We're not designed to get away from God. We're not designed to be separated from God. We're not designed to be God. We are designed to need God. And as we need Him, He supplies. As we walk with Him, He enables. As we are with Him and He is with us, suddenly we become more powerful than ever before in the kingdom of God. And so the parable of the talents is the one that we're going to look at for this whole time together, because I believe there's something so rich about this story that the Lord wants to bring out. And I want to give you the context of the parable of the talents. Maybe you've heard of this story before. It's the story of the master who's got a series of slaves or a series of helpers, and he says, I'm going to bless you according to your abilities with certain talents. And if you looked at this in the New Testament, you would realize this is more about just financial blessing. I'm going to financially bless each and every one of you, and I want you to go and spend it as if you were me. I want you to go and represent me. It's a picture, a foreshadow of Jesus coming back. Of course, Jesus speaks the parable, and every parable is supposed to give us an idea of the kingdom. And this was Jesus giving us an idea of the kingdom in the context of, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. But before I go away, I'm going to bless you abundantly. Then I want you to live like me. And when I come back, I'm coming back to a better world than I left. This is the kingdom of God. And I want to make a special reference in case you didn't know. If you looked it up in the Gospels and did some research, and maybe you got some footnotes in your Bible, you would read in the bottom of Matthew, it says that one talent was worth the equivalent of 20 years' wages. I think a few guys worked it out a few years ago, and they reckon it'd be like $1 million. Like $1 million. Every talent was like $1 million. So when you see the guy with one talent, you feel sorry for him. You go, well, it's just one. It was equivalent of like $1 million or 20 years' wages. So it was still a lot. Some got lots and lots, but everybody got a lot. And I want to just underline that for you today. God has blessed you with a lot. What are you going to do with it? So let's read the story together, this parable, Jesus reading it to us. And of course, I'm going to read it to you. I believe that you're going to be blessed. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with wealth. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another he gave 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who received the 5 bags of gold went at once and put the money to work. Notice he did something with it straight away. And he gained 5 more bags. He doubled. So also the man with 2 bags of gold, he doubled as well. He got 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and he buried his master's money. After a long time, the master, those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the man who received 5 bags of gold brought the master another 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more, 10. His master replied, well good, done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. He doubled, 100%. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And of course, we should be thinking the whole way along here that this is not just an earthly story, but this is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And this is really the end of time here. When Jesus returns and he looks at what we've done with what he's blessed us with, and according to our blessing, that will be our reward. Because remember, our great blessing and great reward is not on earth, although you will be rewarded. rewarded and blessed, the Lord says. But anything you miss here, you will gain 10 times, 100 times there, because God's going to fully reward us in the new heaven and new earth. And so when you read about this, come and share your master's happiness. This is literally it. Well done, and good and faithful servant. This is the end when you're talking to Jesus. And he says, well done, and good and faithful servant. Come on, let's go. Paradise awaits you. But then he says, the man who had received one bag of gold, the master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For anyone who has been given more, they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even they, that which they have will be taken from them. Wow, this is an incredible story. And it would be easy to focus in on the one that had, the servant that had one bag, and this harsh master, it seems like. And he takes the one off him and says, you wicked servant, and he gives it to the one with 10. But there's so much more to this story, and we're going to look at it today. And I want you to think it from the viewpoint of Jesus has blessed all of us. He's blessed us according to his talents, and he's coming back, and he wants to know what you're going to do with it. He's given you the equivalent of 20 years' wages. That's the minimum. It could be for you much, much more. 2 times that, 5 times that. You could end up with 10 times that. You could be so rich you don't know what to do with your time, your energy, your position, your power, your money. It's not all about money, although it still is. It's not all about time, although it still is. And it's not all about abilities, although it still is. But the point of the story is stewardship, preparedness, and responsibility. What am I going to do with what God's given me? It'd be too easy just to reduce it down to money. It would be too easy to reduce it down to just one aspect. But it's really about, how will I take care of what I've been given? How will I take responsibility? And how will I use that in light of he's coming back? Come on, we're going to talk about this today. There's a cost to living out the kingdom of God. There's a cost because we have the lost to reach. And so point number one we're going to look at is that all was given by the master. Our job is to look after it well. I think this is so fundamental. We get so consumed with the things that we have. In fact, we get hungry for more time, more money it can tend to be, more possessions, more things, more this, more that. And yet what we read here is the truth is that God has blessed us with everything. What are we going to do with what he's given us? Now, of course, we could turn it around and say, well, it's all mine. But I'm going to say this, we're going to reduce it down to so little, you're going to find yourself not living to the purposes and plans God's got for you, because you've reduced it down to just you and you and yours and you, me and my stuff against the world, where God says, I have blessed you with eternal blessing to be an eternal blessing and to usher in eternal things. You are made for much bigger things. See, God has blessed you with all that you have. So what are we going to do with that to advance the kingdom? This is the key question. We all have a mandate to advance the kingdom. We've all been given incredible resource to advance the kingdom. Think of all the abilities and talents and skills that you have. It's incredible. I listened to something this week and it said this, that no matter how much talent you've got, if you don't steward it, you will never see the full potential. And here's the golden rule. 10,000 hours makes you a master. And actually, when we look all the way through history, that would be about 10 years of doing 3 hours practice a day. You know, working on something for about 3 hours over 10 years every day will get you to the magic number of 10,000 hours. And what we've worked out is that those that do special things in this life, whether it be Christians or not, are people that have realized the dedication to one or two things is what's going to make you a master. Jesus was a master. What did he spend most of his time doing? Literally every day spending time with the Father. We find him with a young boy. We find out that he went to the temple as a young boy. And then suddenly it feels like he doesn't do anything until about 30. That's about 20 years. Jesus did close to, I would imagine, 20,000 hours of time with the Father, if not more. And then he stepped out and he was the greatest we've ever seen. And I want to encourage you, sometimes we reduce it down to just talent and ability. I'm going to say this, to really maximize who you are comes down to responsibility and stewardship. You cannot beat it. We see it all the way through history. We see it through all the way through those people that we look up to and say are special. There is no one that just pops out special. You can have an incredible ability, then you got to do something with it. And you can have incredible talent, but it does not equal you doing something incredible. So I want to encourage you, what are we doing with what God has blessed us? Talents were worth so much, and you're worth so much, but what will you do with it? Number two, no matter how many talents, everybody has opportunity for more. You see, sometimes again in this story, what we get fixated with is, I want the 5 talents, I want the 10 talents, I want to be the guy who ends up with 11, I don't want to be the one with 1, and I don't want to be the one with 2. That's not what I want. I want loads and loads and loads of talents. But I remember someone once said it like this, I wonder, did we all start off with 1 and it was through stewardship that the guy had 2 and the guy had 5. Because what we see in the story is when the master came back and he saw that they were good stewards of what they had done with the talent, then he gave them more. They made more for themselves, really. And what you notice is as they took it and used it, it multiplied. As they took it and used it and multiplied. And I want to say the same principle applies for us. Take what God's given you, use it for the kingdom of God, and watch it multiply. I think the mistake that we make is we keep it for ourselves, we use it for ourselves, and we wonder why it's not multiplying. You got to take it, own it, use it for the kingdom, use it for God, give it away, and watch how he multiplies the more. The first one took the 5, used it, and it multiplied double. It doubled. The second took it, doubled. Everybody followed the same, the two guys that followed the same principles ended up with the same results. Blessing, abundance. And again, don't get me wrong in the sense of it's not about us. We're not here for us. This is about the master's business. Because remember, the essence of the story is be like the master. I'm giving you the master's resource. This is really the heart of the story. The master says, before I leave, I'm giving you my resource. I'm giving you my wealth. Now go and act like me. Doesn't this sound like what the Lord has called us to do as Christians? I've given you the wealth of the kingdom. I've given you the same spirit that rose me from the dead. Go and be like me. Go and be like Christ. Go and be my ambassadors in this broken world. And yet a lot of the time, what do we go and do? We go and live our own lives. We forget about being stewards for the kingdom, and we just become selfish for our kingdom. We become our own kings. We become our own queens. We become our own people, and we decided to do it our own way. But the story of the talents is the guy who did it his own way lost everything that he had. But the guys who did it God's way, the master's way, accelerated, and they grew the kingdom of God. They grew the master's wealth. That's what I want to encourage your heart with. You see, we spend so much time saying what we don't have whenever we could look around and go, okay, well, I've got this, how can I use it? Well, I've got these things, how can I use it? Let's not be the people again that's on the defense, waiting for more, waiting for more, waiting for more. No, you've been blessed. Go and use with no thought of running out, because you know he will supply all of your needs. I think another big aspect that's so hard when it comes to our talents and using what God's given us, whether it be our money, our time, our energy, or any other part of us, we begin to compare ourselves. Well, what would be the point of my money, because there's nothing in it? What would be the point of my time, because it's nowhere near as good as theirs? Like, what's the point of me doing it whenever they say something and it all happens? But remember, it's not about you impressing them. It's not about you being like them. It's about you using the resource that the master's given you. Each one we're given, 1, 2, 5. Each one we're called to use what they had. I mean, the 1 and the 2 could have turned around and says, no point us doing what we need to do, because the 5 just doubled his. So he's already more than us. We'll never be like him. But what we got to realize is God's blessed each and every one of us. And so he requires all of us to look after and use well the wealth that he's given each one of us. Come on, each one of us have a minimum of 20 years wages. Come on, this is how good God is and how he's blessed us. If we focus on what others have, we won't focus on what we have. And it's such a trap. Comparison is a killer. You don't get more by focusing on others. More only comes from him. More only comes as you use what you've got, as you stay focused on him. And this is what God is calling us to. And so it may start small, but we got to do it his way. And so here's a question to put on your heart. What has God given you? Now, you cannot say, well, he hasn't given me anything. And some of us like to say that either because we don't, either we believe that or we don't want to step into something because we're a bit nervous, a bit scared, a bit prideful even. But I want to tell you, you know he's given you something. You know he's given you your life. You know he's given you the air that's in your lungs. You know that he's given you ability to work, ability to read, ability to talk. He's given you so much. What will you do with it? This is such an important question. And then number three, growth comes from using what you've got. What are you going to do with it? Come on, what has he given you? And then what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your money? What are you going to do with your time? What are you going to do with what God's given you? I mean, here's the ultimate goal, is that we use it for him. We use it for kingdom purposes. But if we take all of his wealth and use it for our own personal gain, haven't we corrupted the purpose of what the king wanted us to do? Remember the servant that used it for himself and kept it for himself and buried it for himself. The master was mad. But those that took it and used it and risked giving it away and blessed this one and helped this one and did this thing, they doubled. It was like the risk was worth it. We spell it as faith. Take what you've got, even when you're scared, and by faith use it. Take what you've got, and even when you're afraid or nervous or anxious, by faith begin to use it. Come on, take the small that you've got and give it to him. Maybe for you it's doing a testimony, that'll be so hard. Maybe for you, it's giving some money, that'll be so hard. Maybe for you, it's your time. But I'm telling you this, God is doing new things and he requires all of us to use the wealth that he's given each and every one of us. See, using your talents will produce more talents. If only the question could be, I had more time, a bigger house, better car, if I was as good as them. But I want to tell you, if you would just take your talents and use them, the Lord will do incredible things with them. Number four, what have we done to invest our talents? Like, what are we putting them into? I want to say this. Haven't you noticed that there's good investments and bad investments? Haven't you noticed that you can put your time into good things or bad things? Or you can put your time into profitable things or unprofitable things? And I want to say to you that when it comes down to your life and it comes down to where you're spending your time, what would it look like when it comes to God? What would it look like in terms of advancing the kingdom? In terms of investing your time, your energy, your money, your thoughts in the kingdom? Would we get to 5% every day? Would we get to 10%, 50%? Where would we get to? Would it be 15 minutes? Would it be 30 minutes? Would it be like 5-6 hours? I don't know. But what I'm saying is this, you got to take what you have and you got to use it for the king. This is the point of the whole parable. Remember, it's not yours, it's his. What are you going to do with his? What are you going to do with his time? And it may be yours, but what are you going to do with his time and his money that he's given you and his talents that he's given you and his skills that he's given you and all that he has blessed you? What are you going to do with it? See, one servant was full of fear or pride and he literally wasted what he had. Isn't that incredible to think about? That fear and pride could rob you so hard from the things of God that when the master came back, he called him a wicked servant. Because fundamentally, you got to see what he says. See, what does he turn around? Let's read it together. He said, Master, he says, but I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. You see, really, what the slave is saying or what the servant is saying is, I didn't really understand you and I didn't really understand what this was about. So I did what I thought was good. And in fact, I actually thought you were hard and I actually thought you were a bad man. And so I didn't want to risk your anger. So I decided to do this instead. I mean, what that really says is the servant didn't know the master. The servant didn't know the master. Because remember, the master is a picture of God and he's not hard and he's not mean and he's not twisted and he's not doing wrong things. In fact, he's doing incredible things. That's why he sent Jesus. And so why does the master get mad? Because he's re-representing his character wrong. He's re-representing him. He's representing him wrong to the people around him. And God says for us that we've got to demonstrate his goodness and we've got to demonstrate his wealth and we've got to use our talents because it's not really about you. It's all about him. And people are going to know him by your good deeds. People are going to know him by your good works. People are going to know him by the way that you treat them. And so for us to hold on is simply to say we don't understand our father, and if we don't understand our father, we're not going to act like our father, which means how are people going to know what we've got? Because we've got to represent Him. We've got to do Him the right way. And He's the God of abundance. He's the God who blessed. Come on, He couldn't have been a hard or a mean man, or He wouldn't have given him 20 years' wages. He wouldn't have given him that much money, $1 million. He wouldn't have given him one talent. He wouldn't have done anything like that. So basically, the servant got caught up in fear, and it caused him to lie. And church, I want to encourage your heart. The Lord has blessed you, but I don't want you to live a lie, and I don't want you to waste what the Master has given you. He has blessed you abundantly. And so our heart is, what can we do and how can we use it? See, the Master took it and He gave it to the one with 10. Why? Because he proved to be a good steward. That's the whole point. If you're a good steward and you take responsibility well, the Master will give you more. And so God has given you faith. Use it. God has given you everything. Use it for Him. That's the urgency of the message. Jesus is coming back. The only things that's done for Him will last. The only treasure that you're going to keep forever is the treasure laid up in heaven, which could be people, which will ultimately be people, works for the kingdom, your heart for the kingdom, your sacrifice for the kingdom, your loss for the kingdom. Count it all as loss. That's what Paul says. I count it all as loss. All my previous gain for the knowledge of knowing Jesus, because there's no one quite like Him. I encourage us. And then finally, a good steward is a blessing to others. First, we're in this together. We're stronger together. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Come on, our whole lives are to be a blessing to the people around us. The whole parable is a bigger picture. Jesus is coming back. They're going to find Him through us. What a responsibility. And this is our whole lives. We've been given the greatest treasure, which is the good news of the gospel. What are we doing with the good news? We've been given great treasure, which is our wealth in terms of our finance and our times and our skills and abilities. What are we doing with it? Where are we using it? What are we doing with it currently now? Because the one who gave it all away got double. The one who gave it all away got double. The one who kept it for himself and buried it got it taken from him. This is a real lesson. And I want to encourage you, this is big, this is deep, and this is so much more than possibly we realize. God has made you rich. He expects you to act and live like Him. And people's lives need it, because this really is about responsibility and stewardship and preparedness. And so where's the best place? I want to challenge as we finish. Where's the best place for you to spend your time, your money, your abilities, and your life? Where's the best place? You got to answer that question. And then whatever the answer to that question is, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? But I want to challenge you with one last thought before we pray. Or maybe we should be thinking about like this. What will I do with His time that He's lent me? What will I do with His money that He's blessed me with? What will I do with His abilities that He's given me? And what will I do with my life that's really His life? Come on, we're going to pray in just a moment. But I'm trying to go after something deeper. God is going to challenge us in this season to give more than ever before. And we're going to have two responses, either yes to Him, even though it's costly, or no to Him, because I'm not ready for any more. But I want to challenge you that the Master has given you all. And the Master says, I'm coming back soon. And the goal of what I've given you is that you would use it like I would use it. So what would Jesus do with your life? If Jesus was you, what would He do? If you were Jesus, what would you do? Come on, we've got to challenge our hearts. How would we live? If Jesus was with us, what would we do differently? If once we understand who we are in Christ, once we understand the wealth and the ability and what He's given us, what will we choose to do with that? That's the challenge for all of us. What are you doing with what He's given you? When Master came back, He looked at what they'd done, and based on how they had performed, based on what they'd done with the talent, His response was either wicked or good and faithful servant. Come on, enter into your rest, enter into joy, enter into a super abundance. Church, I want to challenge you. The Lord is coming back, and He's coming back to find hopefully the whole earth transformed and changed. But how's it going to happen? By us using the wealth that the Master's given us and us living like Him. Come on, we're going to pray. Jesus, I pray today that you would challenge us. I pray today that you would hit the selfishness in our hearts. You would hit, Lord, the uncomfortableness in our hearts. You would hit just every aspect of us in whatever way you need to. Lord, I ask you for transformation. I ask you for conviction. I ask you for hearts changed and lives changed. And for all of us to turn around and say, okay, I need to start living for him in all my ways because everything I've got is his and I want to give it to him. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bless. Oh, pray, Holy Spirit, that you would equip. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would challenge each and every one of us. And Lord, if we find ourselves with the one talent and we've lost it and we want it back, let's pray right now. Jesus, come and bless us afresh. If we find ourselves not knowing the Master, then Jesus, we come to you. Romans 10:13 says, anybody who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. I ask for that in Jesus' name right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come, minister to every heart, minister to every life in Jesus' mighty name.